Outlaws After Dark.
Okay, oh yeah.
Yeah, no, he hasn't.
Here, let me hook you up.
Is that a silver tone? Or no, that
Epiphone.
Yeah.
One of the old Epiphones.
Fucking love that guitar. See, I ended up.
I've never jacked that one.
Dude, it's so nice. My white one's an Epiphone too. I don't know if you guys have seen that one, the first couple.
I think I have, actually.
I kind of like the acoustics.
Yeah.
They always sound good to me every time.
Yeah, they pretty much nail it, huh?
We have Taylor, which is
yeah, we're
good.
Taylor boys.
Can you see that, Steve?
No.
Or do you need your glasses?
You guys always have the same kind of guitars, or like you guys been playing around? Or?
Yeah, a little bit,
yeah,
but mostly
I got
the same for...
Is it like a date day if you like a band date day if you guys are getting new guitars to see if they sound good together?
hands.
We should though.
Cancel? You like that?
I used to with my other band, we'd like go into like want this and we'd like set the shit up and play it right there with the guitar and they'd be like, what the fuck?
I've been trying to talk them into that to going in there and doing one song, just turning the amps up and all the respected sections, and he goes sits on the drums and they get someone
like
to videotape it.
No way.
Dude,
yeah.
If it was clean, but dude, that'd be so
you'd
punk
have to
rock.
Be like fucking like Guns N' Roses.
Yeah, I'd have.
They wouldn't tell Slash to stop playing.
Dude.
No, straight up. That's my problem. I think is like I'm a good drummer, but like.
No, but if we were perfectly in time, we were like. One, two, three, four. Dun, 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 dun. Dude,
if I was Jimmy
it would
Sullivan,
be played.
Would it. Yeah,
it'd be totally worth getting kicked out of Guitar Center.
Yeah, you'll only be kicked out. I don't think they'd ban you from all of them.
No, not for forever, at least.
Who cares?
Even if it was like a 30, if it was like a 30-day ban, I go to Encore anyways.
Yeah, exactly.
They would laugh.
Yeah, right.
I'll just start driving down to Skips every time I need something. And
Skips,
yeah.
Yeah.
Look around and you will
that's
see
actually, yeah,
the world is mighty
places.
Wicked. Look around and you will see that I am down the end. And I take that car down, rock and roll. I take that car down, rock and roll. I won't be pushed aside, and you will know I take that car down.
Who do you use to record? Is that
Ableton? No, it's GarageBand.
GarageBand, okay.
Oh, yeah.
So, like,
hell yeah.
My first guitar was a $10 guitar, right? And, it, you know, it's basic, but, you know, the action sucks, but you only need to up here right now. Right. That's the same mindset
content.
I kind of had with GarageBand. I was like, I'm not going to throw a whole shit ton at my brain before I know
dude,
how to
really
use the
like,
basics.
Yeah, because, yeah,
for sure.
Ableton is like really
GarageBand's cool.
Like, I don't even know how. Like, I had to use it like a year ago, and it was, yeah.
Yeah.
It's too much. I'm not a producer.
Yeah, and when you just, yeah, it's kind of like that, you know.
Like
I'll figure out which one, if I want to upgrade, I will when my ear calls for it, but like, you know, when you get your first guitar, your ear doesn't know, right?
Well, and frankly, GarageBand does everything you
Garage
could
Band's
really
fine,
need.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
You can get all the fucking plugins.
I've heard that there have been professional musicians that recorded.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that's what got me inspired.
It's been around for such a long time, too.
Yeah, we recorded that.
I remember
using
it back
shitty
in the day.
CD, like, in high school.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
like, yeah,
it sounded great.
20 years
of us
ago,
playing like shit.
Yeah. Back in the day.
Welcome to Outlaws After Dark. We got Matt, Ansel, Audrey, and Malcolm in here hanging out.
Yeah.
Friends from the Cali Club, open mic night. Shout out to Nathan North.
Now what's going on?
Hell yeah!
It's been going for the last couple minutes. We're catching your song there in the beginning, Malcolm. Yeah.
We faded
but,
on into the podcast.
Yeah.
That's how you
easy.
Do it, right?
Yeah, we just sit here and bullshit anyways. Like,
yeah.
It's not really pressing to get content. I was thinking about that because, like, I was hearing Bill Burr talk about his podcast.
Nice.
And he just talked, he he does it all by himself, but I guess he like grabs a newspaper, like just marks down all the things that like bothered him that week, and he just rants about it, which makes sense for a comedian, but like, dude, I don't know if I had the time to do that and like everything else, like on top of the podcast or like the massive editing. Like, the Joe Rogan one's my favorite. They just sit there and talk and like intro, outro.
Yeah.
Except they got a shit ton of advertisements now.
Yeah.
And now I think Spotify's got it where if you skip through them, they play more.
Right. Yeah, that's a thing.
Right?
Yeah, totally. 100%. And it's frustrating. It's like, dude, I pay $7 a month for Spotify Premium.
Right? You should be able to skip through the ads if you want.
Like, are you kidding me? I literally paid cause so I don't have ads. Like,
makes fucking total sense, right?
Right.
Well.
You guys use Spotify?
Yeah.
Yeah, sometimes.
I like it, man. I liked Pandora beforehand, but, man, I was kind of late to the Spotify train, I guess. But, like, they're pretty much killing it, I think, now. They got audiobooks and shit.
I just like...
Oh, yeah. I listen to a lot of podcasts.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
I just like the freedom to choose. Like, I like the freedom to choose what I want to listen to. It seems like with other companies, like, you kind of don't really get to pick your music. You know?
Yeah.
They should pay the artist more, though.
They should.
Oh, that's artists
are always.
Yeah, it's, like, right. It's like a 0000 something.
Absolutely.
Per song.
Yeah, well, it's so true.
The unfortunate thing is that's the way it is with everything nowadays. Like, you know, with the availability of music that we have nowadays, it's like, you know, artists don't really get paid as much. Radio stations paid artists well.
It's only like touring.
Yeah.
Yeah, merchandising.
Make their money. Or like, not even that much money, but like a living at it.
Yeah. Well, Travis Barker is like a great example. A drummer made a fucking clothing line and then branched out to a new genre. And like,
yeah, there you go.
That stuff like that's like, that's, I think, true. The key to longevity and financial stability. But
well, and it's
also being in Blink 182 helps.
Band, like Blink
182. Yeah, once you have a killer band, then having the stability, I guess.
Well, and it's funny, you read watch documentaries or read books of like old musicians talking about their tales, and it's kind of like the way to go has always been like stadiums and playing gigs and stuff like that. That's how you make your money. Like, I read the Waylon Jennings autobiography, and he talked all about how like he wouldn't have made shit unless he, you know, unless he went out on tour. So.
Yep, it's getting out and going. Getting the crowds out there, I guess.
Yeah, that's right.
But the booking's a son of a bitch. Do you guys do your own booking?
Yeah.
I mean,
if we can.
I mean,
we haven't had much success.
Yeah, it's a pain in the ass.
We've just been playing the Cali Club.
Yeah.
That's all we've been playing.
The music games like kind of changed a bit with, you know, with like the internet and everything. Right? Used to just walk into a place, you know, like I got a band, and they'd be like, all right. Let me hear you once, like, play.
Now you gotta
have, like, a CD and, like...
Big old resume.
Spotify. It's like...
Right.
You gotta spend $400 just to make your $100 at your show.
And,
seriously.
Actually, we got a busy day on Saturday, so in the daytime, we're gonna record Inner Voice. We're gonna do two songs.
Yeah.
One original by each of us, and then we're gonna play the Cali Club at 9 to midnight, so...
What songs are you recording? Do you want to shout out the names?
I'm going to do Drunkard. That's my song. And Ansel's going to do Mystery Cat.
I took it from a T.S. Eliot poem.
Okay.
T.S. Eliot I like a lot. And I'm trying to like, it's almost like the old school of like doing the music with somebody's poem, like Joy or something like that. But then we were going to do it, and now we're worried about like, well, copyright shit.
Oh, okay.
So I changed up the lyrics.
Yeah, because T.S. Eliot's a more modern writer.
Yeah.
What era?
It's not, like the 20s.
Okay,
it's
so
it's public domain.
Like, it's not public domain.
Yeah, right.
That's like Ghost Riders in the Sky. I looked that sucker up.
Probably pretty ambitious to think it'll even matter. But,
right. No, but still, I mean.
Should it happen, like that.
Pain in the ass.
Yeah, you'd hate for that to be the one that takes off, and
could
then
I
you're all like, oh, you know.
I'm sorry. Could I say something? It's that when you were looking at your own like your own lyrics, and you feel insecure that you're going to like, I think it's very insecure that you're going to fucking play your own lyrics out into the universe.
But you have to. I mean, but if you don't, you just gotta sit there and stare at a wall.
What do you mean by that?
Insecure about it.
I mean that, like, it's like if you're gonna play your own lyrics out into the universe, it's like fucking very insecure.
How so? I think it's brave.
I'd say it's secure.
I agree.
I think you're sharing a part of your soul with somebody.
I think it can make you feel insecure when you're up there doing it, but I don't think it is insecurity.
Well,
I think it's actually it's a brave way to find security in yourself if you can overcome that insecurity and overcome that fear.
If you're gonna share your own lyrics with a fucking audience, then I think that you should be very insecure and fucking not. I don't know.
Do you mean humble instead of insecure?
Or like worried that they're gonna be stolen?
Stolen.
Yeah. Oh. Dude, to be honest, if somebody makes a number one hit off of one of my songs and people know it's mine, then it's like, hey, I'm never going to be not booking shows again. Right? But even if George Strait was like, I'm going to sing Loser Boyfriend, like, I'd be like, Jude.
As artists.
Even Luke Bryan, I'd be like, go ahead, whatever, dude. Like,
I know it's very silly. I know it's very silly. To
maybe not Luke Bryan.
I know it's very I know it's very silly to think that anybody would want to steal your lyrics, but like if they did, then I don't know. I would just
that's a bad look on them.
It is.
Yeah, if somebody steals your lyrics, that's not on you. I'll always make another song. That won't be my only song. If somebody wants to steal it, I can make another.
Yeah.
They obviously can't, so that means they're hurting in a different way than I am.
Well,
or they don't have the way to cope that I do.
I think that's what I was going to say, too. It's like, if somebody stole my song and they played it, like, that song's probably more for them than it is for me.
Yeah, you bitch. You stole one of my songs.
I did steal one of your songs. and Nathan North stole one of mine, so that's fine.
That's cool.
Well, no, but stole, but
it's cool. You know, it's very complimentary.
It's just the music community. That's sharing each other's songs, and maybe you make a spin-off of your own song off of their song. Like, you make it totally your own style, your own.
Yeah,
I think that's part of the fun, man. It's like sharing songs and like, oh, I really like that person's song. I'd love to do it in a different way. Like, I think that's really cool.
I was actually thinking once we drop our album, I think instead of the booklet with the lyrics, I think we should have a mini songbook.
Yeah.
That way it has like the chords so people can pick up their guitar and play it. But it's already trademarked. It's already got our time stamp on it. Like, some any cover is obviously like going to come back. So it's like,
right.
Like, I think it would be fun.
Blues, like, I mean, there's so many songs in 145 Blues.
Yeah.
Of course.
You can be like, I copyrighted the 145.
Well, that's the things. There's
like
only
some genres are like stuck by their form.
Yeah.
Like bluegrass or something like that. Like,
well, there's so much. There's only so many rhythms out there. There's only so many notes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like somebody's bound to have come up with something.
Everything's being reinvented. It's always a reinvention.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Music. I mean, it's great. It's wonderful.
It feels like the music it's that's like, popular now is like from like. I hear all these bands, and I'm like, this is from like 2005, 2006. And I look, it's like 2022.
It's an influence.
Yeah,
it's what we listen to as kids. We're just trying to recreate that shit.
Yeah.
And usually exactly. Starts with like what our parents like listen to in started country.
Yep. Right. Yeah, or like the punk scene's like, becoming like, very big like again punk, and all
yep.
that.
Like,
yeah.
Like, I'm hearing like a lot of with the indie, there's like kind of a disco feel, like a just kind of the disco funky kind of deal going on. And
been long enough since the 80s now. They were like, people forgot about it. We can do that music
again. Arguably. Straight up.
Yeah.
Dude. Like that dude, The Weeknd, right? He's just basically like the 80s. He listened to like Michael Jackson.
Oh, yeah.
He's bringing back the sound.
You hear Michael Jackson's main influence. Like, literally, I do. I mean, when I listen to him, I just think Michael Jackson, like, this guy must have been so influenced by him.
Yeah.
Like, he's number one.
It's been like 40 years now.
What are some of your guys' influences?
Well, actually, I was going to bring up, like, Game when we born. First met. So, when I first met him.
They've been majorly influenced by gay porn.
Yeah, gay porn.
Hey, I was talking
That's it. Pack it up.
Here's my helicopter.
I was going to say, so the first time I met Ansel, we were freshmen at Placer, and I just saw him, and I was like, we started talking, and then I mentioned something about Radiohead to him, or maybe he mentioned something about Radiohead to me, I don't even know. Like, yeah, you like Radiohead? I like Radiohead too.
I believe it.
Hey, let's be friends, like, kind of deal, but Radiohead, always been into them, I mean...
That's cool.
They're
the first band that, like, I don't know, kind of like changed my mind about
so
music.
So unique,
but, like,
so original, yeah, so incredible. Yeah.
Like, every musician has like one of those, one or two.
But absolutely. There's many other bands.
Hey, so wait a minute.
Sure.
So are we gonna fucking make a fucking fucking video of this thing or not?
No.
Oh no,
it's just an audio podcast. Audio.
Just audio at the moment.
Yeah.
Well, are we doing it?
Yeah, we're doing it right now.
Yeah, we're
you are effectively on the podcast.
We've been on the podcast for a while now.
Speaking of. Welcome to Outlaws After Dark. We got Matt, Ansel, Audrey, and Malcolm.
Yeah, what's going on here?
We're having a good night. Oh, man.
Hell yeah.
So how long have you guys been playing together? So since then, right?
20
years. I know, like 12 years.
Well,
it's been a while, but it hasn't been consistent.
They said 2012.
No, we started playing like, I don't know, we started fucking around when we were like sophomores and whatever.
Don't talk about that.
that's
something that you're not really supposed to talk about.
We used to play like in a band, like right out of high school. We've been in a few bands,
Yeah, we were in a band with our other friend James, and Theater was our name. And we played kind of like electronica, kind of. I mean, Ansel was writing pretty much the majority of it. Yeah, some good stuff. There's some potential. Did some it was like mostly electric, some acoustic when we were theater.
I guess so.
Like, I was playing bass, and Ansel was playing guitar and fucking
so what the
whatever.
Fuck? Why?
I mean, banjo. Yeah. Guitar, banjo. I mean, this dude can play a lot of instruments.
We show up at these like open mics, which were like, and we'd have like, I would have like five instruments with me, like an idiot. And there'd be like four, there'd be like four people in the crowd. I have more instruments than I have audience members.
That's funny.
Hell yeah, yeah. And we played for I don't know how long were we theater like. 4 years.
Yeah, it's three or four years.
Yeah. We just like meet like once a week sometimes, like in the weekend. Right? I don't know. It was kind of, it was iffy here and there. Sometimes James, I think he was living up in Reno, and so he don't make it down every once in a while. So we weren't like, but Ansel and I, we've been neighbors for a long time.
Yeah,
and longer.
Really
and,
close. Yeah. By the high school.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, still not, you're not that far away. I mean, right, like a mile away, but yeah, it's like, we've been playing for shit, I'd say at least 16 years. Like if, minus the time you went to China
and Thailand. There's a big time, like I was gone for 7 years, and then I was living in Oregon for a few years.
Yeah.
But I always come back because my family's lives here. So.
Yeah.
Yep. Can we and talk? Me too. Yeah. Yeah. Family here. And yeah. So, anyways, played theater for like 4 years and then kind of, you know, he went to China and did my own thing and didn't really play much music, but...
We're in the Waller Dogs.
Yeah, and the Waller Dogs. Yeah, later on we started the Waller Dogs.
That was actually like, yeah, that was better.
It was better. It was better. We were electric acoustic. Yeah, it wasn't, I don't think you ever got it. Or no, you played a little electric guitar, right? The Waller Dogs. Yeah, probably. But, yeah, so we played, we had a harmonica friend, Sean Foster, and his dad played backup guitar, Vinny Foster, and it was cool, man. It was a fun little jam band. And then we had Chloe Day played this girl we know from, she was living in Grass
Chloe
Valley.
Day, great songwriter.
Great songwriter. Played bass. Yeah, great songwriter. Like, and she moved to St. Louis, but anyways, she played for a little while with us, and yeah, we got some gigs around town, but it's just like, seems like now we're finally just like, just having the Cali Club just have us, we've been playing, like, I think we played 4 shows so far, and we get our 5th show coming up on Saturday, so.
Cool.
Looking forward to it, yeah.
Hell yeah, yeah, man. Hell yeah. And you're getting ready to go to China again pretty soon, aren't you, Ansel?
Yeah. Next month, yeah.
Next month. You want to talk a little bit about what you're doing over there?
I'm a teacher.
Is it classified?
It's classified. People always ask me that. Classified. I'm a teacher. Now I'm a history teacher. Before I taught English and some other subjects. But, so I do music also over there as well.
So you're completely fluent then in Chinese?
Not fluent. I speak it pretty good, but.
Okay, that's cool though. And you just go over there for a school year and come back? Or?
Yeah, it all got messed up with COVID because I was in China in January 2020. And that's when I left, right as COVID was happening.
Wow.
Right. I left just like, as I always do.
Did you bring back COVID?
People. I do have a funny story. There is one dude at a bar who thinks I did. It's like I met this guy at this bar. Like, right after I got back, I was like, oh, yeah, like, I just came from China. He was like, did you come from Wuhan? I was like, no. He's like, and he was all, like, freaked out. He, like, walked away from me.
Oh, wow.
He probably thinks to this day, I'm the guy.
You are the
patient
guy.
Patient zero in America.
Yep. You heard it here first, folks. It all started in Sacramento.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, so I was in China. I came back for my regular holiday, as I do, and then, like, the COVID happened, so, like, they shut China, I couldn't go back, and so I was like, fuck it, like, I went to Thailand, I was there for, like, a year plus, and then I came back here to do, I was in a doom metal band, I came back to do recording to one of our albums, and then I've been here since, yeah. Because I'm still waiting for the visa paperwork for China.
Shout out for the doom metal band.
Yeah, doom metal.
Doom metal.
That's what he said.
What's their name?
Somnus Throne.
What is it?
Somnus Throne.
Somnus?
Yeah, Somnus.
That's cool. Yeah, okay, dude, right. That's sick.
Yeah, doom metal. Yeah, I grew up playing metal, actually. Like, I was really into death metal. I still am, yeah. And then later I got into, like, acoustic music and stuff.
Oh, that's cool.
So I started the opposite.
Did you have any neck injuries from headbanging?
No, like, I never neck banged. And people are always like, people are like, I don't have any tattoos or anything. Like,
no, like, you're
a grindcore band. Like, you look like a yuppie. Like, what the fuck are you doing?
You look like the guy that they've been making memes where it's like, if the lead guitarist looks like this, you're going to die in the pit.
Yes.
You're about to die.
I play a lot of music, so I couldn't, like, I mean, if I went with, like, the black metal, which is cool, but then I show up to play, like, with him, and they'd be like, who the?
That'd be so
I
cool.
I came to watch a nice country band.
We should do that. You guys should do that at the club car, too. We should just take it over at the club car one night, do some doom metal.
That'd be awesome. Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, I can't play. I'm not. nearly as great as the player as he is, like lead wise. I mean, I can play some good rhythm, but
actually, you're really terrible.
Oh,
that's cold-blooded. Cold-blooded.
I've watched what you've done, and it's not very good.
Ouch.
No, this guy's the foundation. That's what we call it.
Yeah, he really admires your work.
No, you guys both of you are rad.
Thank you
so much. At the Cali Club.
Like, oh, I love your guys' stuff, and fucking hey, man.
Thank you.
The jam.
Oh, hell yeah, man.
Hell yeah.
They said, do you guys know what song you want to play after this?
Yeah.
Which song are you guys going to try to, or are we going to record?
Drunkard, I guess.
Yeah. Drunkard? That would be cool.
It's a song for all of us.
Hell yeah.
Drunkard.
That's the one you wrote, Matt?
Mm-hmm.
You want to go? What's the background on that one? Any funny inspiration stories? Or like?
Actually, it's kind of like an Ansel situation with his original. Is I was rewriting a traditional song that I found in an old book. My buddy had it, and he showed it to me, and I was like, I was looking through the book, and I was like, I found the song, but it wasn't called Drunkard. I don't even remember the name of it, but I remember the first verse, and I rewrote it a little bit, and then I wrote all different lyrics, I mean, all different verses after that, and, just made it my own.
Yeah.
You know, hell yeah.
That's a great nugget for other songwriters out there, because that is a really cool way to find inspiration for songwriting. Like, dude, that's...
Just one line from another song.
Yeah, that's amazing, and then just grow off of that. Like, that's really
cool. Well, especially if you find a song that you really like that's like a good concept. You know, you find a good concept in a song, and you're like, oh, I can feel that. Let me write a song about that. Like,
I'm
going to really
give
cool
some shout-outs to songs. I know that there's a copyright, but like, I have to give some shout-outs to, like, musicians or whoever I like. So when I incorporate their one lyric, it's like paying homage.
Right. Dude, yeah, well, rappers do it all the time.
Yeah,
it's cool. It's, like, it makes the crowd feel like they're attached, because a lot of those guys like the same artists as well. I mean, there's... We are the artists that we love, right?
That's it, man. Well, that's where you
emulation,
get it in a way. I mean, you know, you don't want to be totally like I want, but you want, they're a part of you, really, in, of your music, you know, like when you, whatever you play.
That's why all original music is original in its own sense, right?
Yep.
Is because, like, you pull influences from multiple sources. And it creates something in its own way, you know?
Yeah.
I think that's why my favorite music to listen to when I'm listening to somebody live is their original music.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, it's a little insight to who they are,
I'm really
too.
I'm into original music.
Yeah.
And like some traditional, because we do a lot of bluegrass, and that's kind of in the tradition.
Yeah.
Well, and the traditional songs are still good. Like, I do Lonesome Road
They're
Blues
great, yeah.
and
just
stuff
like
that,
yeah,
and
kind
that's
of
fun.
Like,
yeah.
It's, cool, like, American,
I love traditional music.
Yeah. It's great to bring the band in, too, if you guys are playing with some new guys, because, like, you can jam, kind of feel each other out, and then throw an original in there. If it, you know what I mean? I find, I don't know, but, like, the traditional stuff is always good to go back on if you want to play with new people. Like,
because everybody kind of can pick up on it.
Yeah,
well, and it's
especially
also
bluegrass
and,
is
yeah,
great
yeah, exactly.
for that.
They've probably heard it in the past once or twice, so yeah.
And
easily
it's also
pick up the rhythm.
It's also guaranteed, too. Like, they're guaranteed songs. Like, most people are generally going to like them, and that's
fun.
Yeah,
I mean, these songs have been played by how many?
Yeah, there's a reason why they've been
artists,
whatever
the song
that
is.
Yeah.
You know? Neither people recognize it or they don't, but it's still got that tone to it where it's like, oh, I may have heard this somewhere a long time ago, you know?
And I like it gives you the opportunity that you can still be really creative with it because you're giving your own like interpretation of it.
Absolutely.
You'll listen to all these bluegrass bands, they'll do the same song, but all, you know, slower, faster, whatever.
Do it their way.
They'll do it their own way,
That's right.
Well, that's the funny thing is like a lot of different people play guitar differently, you know. It's all about how you play the instruments, your way, your individual style in that sense.
Yep. Yeah. Totally right.
That's a fun thing about open mic.
Right.
Yeah, seeing everybody's different styles.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's true. And there's so many. It's so cool up there.
Mm-hmm.
It is cool.
So, when you guys play gigs, like when you play the Cali Club, is it just you two?
Sometimes our buddy Mike Hill will join us, harmonica player.
Oh, that's cool.
I was talking to him about you guys. Yeah, he's cool.
He's a great dude. He's been here for, he said 68 and moved up here. He's fucking awesome. Yeah, he's been playing harmonica for a long time. Mm-hmm. I don't know how long, but.
Get some jams.
We started playing with him back when we were theater. So that was back like in 08 or something, I don't know.
Yeah, something like that. We accidentally made friends with him, which is not hard to do if you don't mind.
And he's just like,
yeah, he's very nice.
He would come over and jam with us, and we just, yeah. So we've known him for a while, and then we just started playing with him again. Now it's just Ansel and I. And,
It gets a little taxing, just the two of us, because there's, especially covering all the lead, all the breaks and stuff like that, I don't have another instrument to, like you were talking.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The songs get a bit shorter.
Yeah. it's great whenever he plays. I love it. But he hasn't been playing with us, past few times we jam, but
we might
get him on Saturday night. So
come out,
right?
Yeah, come out.
There you go, 9 to midnight at the California Club Saturday night. Saturday night. All right,
we're gonna be really in tune because we'll be recording the.
Yeah, we're gonna be
6
whooped.
Hours before.
Dude, that's the way to do it. We spent a weekend in the studio and then we played our songs that we did in the studio, and it was like
money, beautiful,
tight as heck.
Nice.
It is the way to do it. That'll be fun though.
Hell yeah.
That's what really
does. That's just how you gotta do it.
Drinking IPA and chasing girls is actually like in a studio, like
with your head down listening,
which is hours and hours and hours.
Oh, yeah, good at that.
No,
is it on click?
Nope.
Me and Jake
hate the
clip. We'll take a track like 20, 30 times. Easy.
Yeah.
My vocals will start giving out and I'll be like, keep going, drop the vocals.
Everybody
and redo
knows
them
the song until they're
back.
Yeah,
or you just suddenly forgot how to play guitar. It's happened to me so many times.
Fingers disappear.
Yeah.
Well, which is funny because it's not intimidating, but the studio that we record in, he has a full mic'd up acoustic kit. And so when we play it, it's like, dude, there's so many mics all around, and it's like, whoa, I'm here. Like, this is forever.
It's not like playing live.
No, whatever I play right now, it's going to get, it's going to stick
around.
Every
little mistake, that's it.
Oh, yeah. If you're playing live, you can just brush over.
If we're
playing
live, no one's even.
No, that's the thing.
Unless you clanking like glasses, people yelling.
Stage.
Unplug yourself or something.
Yeah.
I'm the king of doing that. I've done that so many times.
There you go. Well, and it's funny because, I feel like live, most people at a bar will give you, a little bit of leeway, with messing up a little bit. You could mess up pretty bad before anybody will say anything, but I can feel myself in the recording going, that was bunk.
You'll think you'll know the song, and then there'll be a couple of notes you don't know.
What do I play there?
And then you're practicing in a studio, and you're spending $90 an hour.
At that point, every single mistake costs you a couple of cents.
You'll think you know the song, and then it'll be you're actually wasting your time.
Mm-hmm. It happens. Mm-hmm.
I did learn though, if you go get your band tacos, rock stars, and a little shot of Jack,
it works out really well.
That's funny. I think we were hitting a hunger wall, and I need.
It's not really right. if you want to, save your time, and actually.
If you want to save your time, practice.
Yeah, exactly.
Dude, that's the key to everything, isn't it?
Exactly what you're doing.
Exactly. Even then,
anything
you want to master,
no.
you have to practice. What is it? over 10,000.
Yeah, 10,000.
10,000 hours to become a master.
To master of whatever you want to accomplish.
That's the Malcolm Gladwell thing, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. If you're actually gonna make you calm down and just like 10 years.
1 second, we got a lot of voices going on.
Stop fucking wasting your time.
What?
That. Well, I think that if you're actually going to save your time, is you need to stop wasting your time, and you need to actually use your 10,000 hours.
Did you know an hour a day? If you play guitar an hour a day for 10,000 hours, it'll take you 27 years.
They recommend it like 3 hours.
Maybe? I did the math the other
whatever
day.
Whatever it was to get to like 10 years.
Yeah, like 10
That's crazy. Yeah, I've never done the math.
That's amazing.
Well, because, yeah, that was fucking with my head. I was like, 10,000 hours, I may have played like 1,000. Maybe.
Maybe,
you'll
right?
definitely be good.
Yeah.
Who knows if it'll make
an expert. If you actually fucking play.
If you played for that long,
10,000 hours, then you'll actually be good.
That's commitment right there, yeah.
Yeah.
That's
so,
why.
You gotta have blisters on
so,
my fingers.
Hit me up, boys, in 27 years. we'll be happening.
That's why they automatically give the title of masturbating. Everybody just logs in their 10,000 hours early.
Oh, man. It's like 14.
Yeah. Everybody
becomes a master.
Yeah. Damn it, is that the only one that hit?
You telling me you go more than an hour a day?
Right. 27 years.
27. Yeah,
Jake's a master.
Look at you.
Oh shit.
Jake's like, I'm rocking more like 12 grand right now.
Oh fuck. That was a fun little conversation, guys. Thank you guys so much for coming in. We're gonna get your song hopefully recorded. And then we can't wait to hear your fucking full out recordings. Yeah. Right? You can see Matt and Ansel over at the Cali Club this Saturday in Auburn.
You guys said
9 to midnight.
Yeah.
Yeah,
somewhere.
Yeah.
You know
how it goes.
Whenever you want to get done, yeah.
Right.
Hell yeah, man.
So, yeah.
Hell yeah, look forward to it. Hoping to get, maybe 3 sets would be nice. Maybe we can get like 2 big ones and a small one at the end. I don't know. We'll see how time permits, but yeah, it should be great. Hope everyone comes out or whoever's interested in coming out and free, and hell yeah.
Yeah, whoever's listening, like, you should come out. These two are rad. They're really good musicians.
Blow your mind, yeah.
Thank you so much, guys. Thanks. Hell yeah.
Thank you.
A lot of this stuff's fun to dance to.
Yeah.
That's all we try to do. That's all we do.
That's what it's about.
Entertaining. You guys know what's up. Yeah.
Well,
we all know it.
That, oh my, and go back to this, but a lot of people forget we are sort of in show business.
Yeah. Right.
Like I remember trying to get gigs and like being frustrated. I'm like, oh, you know, you get sour and like nobody loves music.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, you're not offering a show. Like people want people to stay there, people want people to drink, people want it is money based at some degree.
You're making the business money too. Yeah.
Yeah. If people stay there, they're gonna make the money that they need to pay you. So if you're not offering a good show and the people aren't staying there, then why would they? Like, they're not making, it's not, it, you can't go for a full circle.
Gotta
with
give
that.
A business incentive.
Right. As creatives, we get petty in our little things. That like, it's a come to Jesus moment when we all remember that it's not about that, you know?
Music is a gift that's meant for others.
Service, man.
Yeah. That's gorgeous. Oh, yeah. All right, guys, let's hear Drunkard. We'll see you guys later. Have a good night. And bye.
Well, Drunkard was lying on the barroom floor. He drunk like he never drunk before. He dreamt that he was in a terrible dream, and the devil was driving that locomotive train. Well, the man awoke from a terrible nightmare. He felt the boxcar swing left to right, He heard the screech of steel and the sparks that it flew. He knew something was amiss, something was askew. Well, the man climbed up to the ladder at his right, and he hopped from boxcar to boxcar line. He saw the plume of smoke and the devil's just grin. He knew he had to stop him or the devil would win. And he grabbed him by his collared shirt. He said, devil, if you don't stop this here train, I'll pummel you down and be the one to take the rain. Well, the devil said, son, you are a dumb son of a bitch. You've done this to yourself, you got nothing left to fix. You spend your whole soul for eternity, hey, way on down deep with a little old me. Never drink again. But as he was leaving, he said, hey bartender, hey, come on, once again, give me one more for the road.